today on Real Radio.
Listen, what if somebody were to say to you, in a debate or just over coffee, if I could prove to you that God doesn't exist, would you stop being a Christian? Because, you know, some people get asked that, and some people tragically are stumped. Oh, I've never been asked that question before. I don't know how to answer that. I do. Oh, I do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that looks at the first four verses of chapter 11. It's a passage that includes a warning to believers not to be led astray as the serpent deceived Eve, says the text. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in this multi-part series called With This Mind.
It's Paul's closing remarks to the church at Corinth, and he bears his heart, as I've been sharing with you these weeks, regarding his concern for them. The message is entitled again today, With This Mind. And every believer has the opportunity to yield their mind to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's in the mind that everything good or everything bad is born for us. We choose on the porch of our minds what we will do with our body, what we will do with our devotion. And so the governance or the entertainment of our mind is all important. I remember being at the Western Wall in Jerusalem for the first time back in the early 90s, and I asked a friend of mine, I said, why are these Jews standing at the wall like this? And you've seen them on TV, haven't you? Maybe you've seen them in person, and you see them nodding or waving like this. Predominantly, you'll see the Hasidic Jew. They have the black coat with the black hat, and they're moving like this in their prayers. Their mouths are moving. You may not hear anything coming out of their mouth as they're just praying silently, but they're moving and bobbing like this. And I asked him, what's that all about? And he said, you know, Their statement is this to us when you ask them, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And God knows everything, but they said to make sure they wanted to pray and put effort into it. That was their dedication before God with their strength. That it takes energy to bob or to move like that in prayer and devotion. Now, I'm not asking you to agree or disagree with that. I'm simply saying that in their mind, they are saying, God, we want you to know how much we love you, and we're even devoting our movement to share with you that we're loving you with all of our strength. And how much more the Christian who knows the true God, that we and everything that we do should be so radically dedicated to the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about. 2 Corinthians 11:1, he says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Put up with me and hear me out. Indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous with you with a godly jealousy. And we've studied this in detail. For I have betrothed you or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And here we are this week, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not or you have not received, or thirdly, a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's lamenting the fact that with their minds, they're entertaining things that were not biblical. And church, I want to tell you right now, if I'm true to the notes that God gave me in preparation time and study time, now I'm well aware that there's times when God, I trust it's God that interrupts my notes and things are different. But then there's a time when God has given me my notes. And I have to tell you this morning, I'm torn between faithfulness, because I want to be faithful to what God wants to say. And I want to stick to the notes because it had a great effect upon my life preparing for this message. Does that make sense to you? It was first cooked in my kitchen before I can serve it up here this morning. I hope that makes sense to you. And if the farmer is to be the one who first partakes of the harvest of his crops, then so much more should I be partaking of what God is saying to my heart before I share what should go on in your heart. And so we're all in this together as we look to this. And in our first study, in our previous studies, we looked at increasing joy leads to greater assurance. And that was in verses 1 to 3, the opening verse of 3 there. 1, 2, and 3, we saw that increasing joy, following the Lord and being aware of the fact that we're devoted to God, we've been espoused to the Lord, it leads to greater assurance. But now we look at this, and it's in verse 3 that this greater assurance leads to stronger faith. Will you write that down? That's why you're here today, by the way, that your strength would be stronger. God wants you to have a stronger faith, that your faith would be growing. So look it with me, look in your Bible carefully, verse 3. Paul says, "For I fear," we get the word phobia from the word fear here, "lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness." So your minds, circle the word minds, your platform, your way of thinking, your worldview may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So church, write it down. First thing that we see right here, what's going on? This greater assurance leading now to a stronger faith. Mark this down. We need to stay close to God. Church, listen, more than ever in the 21st century, on what is this, the fifth month of this year, God wants us to be reminded we need to be closer to God now than ever before. What has gone on in your life previously, Christian? Listen, that's the past. It matters how we come to this day and live it for the Lord God. So mark it down. The first thing we see here in the opening verse of 3 is that we stay close to God. And Paul says, "But I fear." Three strong emotional words. "I have this phobia," says the apostle. "I am so deeply anxious." Isn't it amazing for us to hear that the apostle was anxious? He wasn't anxious about money. He wasn't anxious about popularity. He wasn't anxious about a new donkey. He's anxious about the welfare of the church that he had birthed in Corinth. He was anxious about their spiritual growth and about them staying close to Jesus because they were being tempted to depart from the real Jesus. The greatest attack, church, listen, it's happening now. It's happening today. It's happening this week to come. It's happening on your watch. The greatest weaponry that Satan has against the church, it's been so successful, he's not deviated from it. And that is infiltration within a church. A church, a local church, is most often destroyed from within. He said, "But Pastor, didn't Jesus say the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church?" Yes, he did. The gates of hell will not prevail against the believers in the world. The church, universal. But why do you see local churches dissolve and break up and crash? Have you ever thought about that? Didn't Jesus keep his word? Wasn't he faithful? Oh, he's faithful. He keeps his word. What happened in that local church? Listen, infiltration from within, a false doctrine, false teaching, something anti-scripture rose up from within that church. A false lifestyle, something happened to where a seed grew up and then defiled that local church and it perished. Look, we don't have to go far to see this. In the book of Revelation, Jesus' letters to the seven churches. Notice, those churches are gone, removed from their geographical place today. If we got in an airplane today and flew to Turkey, and we went through the region of Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, I can take you to Sardis. There's nothing there but ruins. Ephesus, there's nothing there but ruins. Philadelphia, nothing there but ruins. They failed to keep walking with Jesus. Listen, I pray that on my watch, this church doesn't succumb to infiltration. I pray that on my watch, while I'm here, that this church doesn't dissolve. You say, "Yeah, that's right, Pastor. You hold your post. You stand your guard." Wait a minute. I can stand my guard for this church, but what about your home? I have no power over your home. Will your children walk with Jesus? What will happen in your home? Will your marriage endure because you've kept your eyes on Christ? Well, he's gotten older and fatter as time has gone on. And she's not as cute as she used to be. Who cares? Keep your eyes on Jesus. By the way, listen, you keep your eyes on Jesus and your husband will look thinner than he is and your wife will look cuter than she is. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's a miracle. Watch what happens. And a church needs to keep their eyes on Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "For this reason, Paul says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." So I'd want to say, Paul, how can you say that? This is how. "For," or "because, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." Notice in the past tense, I know the one in whom I've believed, and I've persuaded that he is able. Now Paul looks to the future to keep what I've committed to him until or against that day. I have been fully convinced. This is the great apostle. According to the ancient world, listen, everybody, the apostle Paul was one of the greatest intellects of that time period of Rome. Did you know that? Forget about the fact that he was later a Christian. He was first a Jew, and forget about the fact that he was a Pharisee. According to world history, Paul the apostle, Saul of Tarsus, was one of the most brilliant thinkers of his day. And he says this, "I've come to this conclusion. Knowing Jesus Christ is the most awesome, powerful thing I've ever known. I've been fully persuaded, and I'm waiting for that great day when I stand before him. It's all going to turn out well because I've committed my life to him, and I'm rested in that fact." The great thinker, Paul the Apostle, who, by the way, of course, Jesus has been the most influential personality that the world has ever or will ever see. But Paul the Apostle, think about it. Paul the Apostle has affected the world more than any other human believer in world history. Think about it. And he says this, "I've been persuaded." Listen, what if somebody were to say to you in a debate or just over coffee, "If I could prove to you that God doesn't exist, would you stop being a Christian?" Listen, guess what? Because, you know, some people get asked that and some people tragically are stumped. "Oh, I've never been asked that question before. I don't know how to answer that." I do. Oh, I do. Listen, if in their hypothetical proposal, evidence could be brought forth to prove that God doesn't exist, would that cause you to stop being a Christian? Absolutely not. You want to know the reason why? It's not because I'm blind and I've become dumber as I've gotten older. It's because, you know what? No matter what some human might argue, no matter how persuasively or with articulation or whatever they might twist or say to do regarding the non-existence of God, I know him whom I have believed in, and I have been persuaded to the point where, though, listen, my life from day to day may in action deny him, in reality, I cannot deny him. I may have gone over 55 miles an hour yesterday on the freeway, yet God is true. Let every man be a liar, says the Bible, right? I have been persuaded. Have you been persuaded? This is absolutely fundamental. You say, "I want to be able to say that someday." Really? Then stay close to God. Stay close or get close to God. And Paul is saying, "I have this fear." He wouldn't have had the fear if the church at Corinth would have been walking with God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, in Athens, Greece, Paul said this, "For it is in him we live," that is, we have our human function, "and move," that is, we are stirred. The word means to brood or to be shaken from sleep. So, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Our very existence is easily argued because God is our creator. Stay close to God. Christian, you'll never do wrong. You'll never fail. You'll never be afraid of eternity if you stay close to God. And I'll confess for you, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. You ever prayed and it felt like the heavens were like brass? Have you ever gone through worship and then people around you have had their hands lifted and their cheeks are hot with tears and worship and your heart is dry as the Mojave? You ever been there? I've been there. The cool thing now about being a Christian for almost 38 years is, you know what? And this too shall pass. There's seasons that come and go, and there's times of dry spell. And when you take your pulse and you realize spiritually, and you check with God, is anything wrong? Listen, he's quite able to speak to you about anything being wrong. If there's nothing wrong, then what do? And you feel dry. You just keep pressing on. You just keep moving on. You keep doing the right thing in spite of emotions. You keep doing the right thing in spite of feelings. You keep doing the right thing. And you stay close to God. The Bible mandates us that we stay close to God. Secondly, knowing the truth. With this mind, greater assurance comes, stronger our faith. How's that happen? Knowing the truth. Verse 3 goes on, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. This is awesome, because Paul, remember, was being mocked and ridiculed by the legalists that he wasn't a great orator. Remember that? That he wasn't a great presence. Remember that? He was an ugly little man whose voice probably sounded like nails going across the chalkboard. And Paul is not lamenting here. His phobia is not that he wasn't a good public orator. His phobia is the accuracy of Bible doctrine, that somebody wouldn't hear it. Oh, church, listen, be careful today. Look, please understand me. God knows my heart, and with that, I'm comfortable. But don't think this morning I'm trying to manipulate you when I say this. Watch out who you listen to and what church you attend, for what reasons. Oh, the doctrine's a little off, but they got great worship. Or this, that, or the other thing, but. Listen, any church, including this church, if there are things that are doctrinally off, run, as I've been saying recently, run from this church or that church. Run! Because the absolute fact is, Paul is lamenting here the fact that the Corinthians had departed from biblical Christianity. How did that happen? By the deception of Satan himself, just like Eve was deceived. Listen, can you and I be deceived and tripped up? If Eve can be deceived, you and I could be deceived. How do we prevent that? Being in the truth, in the Word of God. Paul is passionate about it, and what is it that he's passionate about? The Christian fundamentals. And you need to hang on to your seats today, because I run the risk of angering some of you. And I want to tell you right now, if the rock hits you, okay, then instead of getting angry about it, that the only way the rock can hit you is if it's the Holy Spirit throwing the rock that is Christ and challenging your heart. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, the great apostle there says, "For I know this, that after my departure, when I leave here, many savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." He's talking to church leaders. "Also, from among your own selves, men will rise up." Church, are you listening? The enemies of Christianity will arise from within Christianity, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Notice, not to Christ, after themselves. "Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day," says the apostle, "with what? With tears." Knowing the truth cannot be gotten by easy means. I'm going to confess that to you now. It takes investment of time. It takes investment of commitment, of devoting yourself to consistent and mindful Bible reading, being in the Word of God. There's no substitutes for that. Desiring to be near God, desiring God's truth. Listen to this, Psalm 27, verse 4. This is our goal, church. This is our goal. This is David. And David's heart is a heart like we want to have. Psalm 27, 4, David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." This is a great thing. This is a great prayer for all of us. What is that one thing? "That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Leave it up to David, this one thing, and he explains it in 3 different ways. It's great. This one thing. 1A is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. B, C, he keeps going. How do I know the truth? By gathering together in the house of God. That makes a great assumption. Did you know that there can be a true church and a false church? Just because a place has got a cross outside or a speaker in a robe, or it doesn't make it a church. What makes a church a church? Adherence to the Bible. Number 2, listen, the movement or the presence or the sanctifying factor, is the way I like to put it, of the Holy Spirit. Who uses, by the way, the Word of God, Jesus says. And the third thing is that people, listen, people will be growing in the knowledge and in their walks with Jesus Christ. And in that process, by the way, people get saved. Did you know that? We put a lot of emphasis, and listen, we put a lot of emphasis on evangelism and the point of crusade, but I like how Europe does it and the rest of the world does it. Most people are won to Christ by Christians being discipled in the Word of God, and then you going to work or you going to your neighborhood and your neighbors and coworkers seeing a changed life, and now they want what you have. In Europe, they call it friendship evangelism. It means they watch you for about 5 years and then they decide to be a Christian or not. I like that. But this is serious business. God, I want your truth. Then David says, then listen, then draw near to the house of God. Why? Because out of it, you should hear the word of God. Satan has a very specific tactic and target. His tactic is to undermine faith, true biblical faith. And you think about it today. You can go to churches to get seminars or presentations or messages on how to be happy. Now, who doesn't want to be happy? We all want to be happy. Or how to be rich, or how to be this, or how to be that. And the gospel is scarcely preached. The word of God is not taught line upon line or precept upon precept. Jesus says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Listen, the dangers of being young is that you're healthy, right? And you can have faith in your body. I'm so healthy, I'm so strong, I have faith, I'm going to be... And listen, I got news for you. Your faith in your body will be disappointed. You can say, well, I have faith in my wealth. My dear friend, you will be disappointed. You could say, I have faith in my government. You are already in a state of disappointment. But the Bible says, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness... And how did he do that? Infiltration, did he not? Infusing. You ever been in the hospital? You ever been knocked out or put out or given IV for whatever reasons? Have you noticed that if they want to give you a vitamin or make you go to sleep, the nurse comes in and simply puts a little syringe with a needle to the IV and injects it into the bottle or the bag and then releases the drip and a little bit of fluid into the delivery of the grandeur, and now you are loopy or you're feeling better or you're sleeping or, are you with me? Infusion. Infiltration. That's how Satan works, ever so subtly, mind you, to move around. He never comes and shows up in a moment of temptation wearing red underwear and a pitchfork and a goatee, you know, and speaking real cool. Like, I don't know. You know? He comes like somebody you'll want to get next to. He'll come like somebody you want to listen to. Eve never jumped back in a moment. Ah! A talking snake! Listen, infiltration.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's called With This Mind, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can hear a clear presentation of the gospel? Did you know that here at Real Radio, we not only make it a priority to equip the believer, but we also communicate the truth of God's Word to the unbeliever? We do have a number of messages that communicate the need to be redeemed, born from above and from many different angles, all based on Scripture. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and start by clicking that button in the middle that says Know God. You'll find both video and audio presentations. You can also search by simply typing the word gospel. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.